Hello and welcome, mga kabetchang. It's me, your gaytective, Martin Rules, and welcome back to my channel. And you know what time it is. It's Philippine True Crime Stories. Kumusta kayong lahat? I hope you guys, girls, and my non-binary friends are safe and healthy. Kung bago pala kayo sa aking channel, hello, my name is Martin, and tuwing Huwebes, gumagawa ko ng video tungkol sa totoong krimen o misteryo na nangyari sa Pilipinas habang nagme-makeup. Kaya naman, kung interesado ka sa ganitong klaseng content, I highly suggest na mag-subscribe ka na sa aking channel for your peace of mind. Ganoin! Huwag mo rin kalimutan na i-click yung bell button para naman ma-update ka pag meron tayong bagong uploads. And lastly, if you have any questions sa topic natin for today or sa mga makeup na i-apply ko, huwag kayong mahiya na magtanong sa comment section below. So last week, kung naalala nyo pa, pinag-usapan natin yung Happily Never After na story ni Mylene Maymay Sinambong. And today naman, we are going to talk about the kidnapping of Cosette Tanwakio. By the way, shoutout pala kay Vintage Panda for recommending this case. Kayo rin kung meron kayong nalalaman na true crime or mysteries na nangyari sa Pilipinas, ano pang hinihintay nyo? Before we start pala, if you want to support this channel, you can cash tip any amount sa aking GCash, Paymaya, or aking bank account. Yes, para naman tuloy-tuloy ang ligaya. Ganon. Thank you in advance sa mga magka-cash tip. And yung story natin today is considered shocking case noong 1960s. Kaya naman, buckle up, bitches. Kasi this one is one hell of a ride. Babala. Ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya, at description ay maaaring makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. So, the story began noong November 16, 1964, kung saan si Corazon Cosette Tanwakio, 15 years old, anak ng kilalang mag-asawa na si Sixto Tanwakio and Juanita Valenzuela from Guagua, Pampanga, ay senior high school student sa Mary Knoll College, na kilala ngayon bilang Miriam College. Nagstay siya sa bahay ng tito at tita niya na si Bienvenido Cancio and Lourdes V. Cancio sa may 90B Gonzales, Loyola Heights, Quezon City. Sobrang convenient nito para sa kanya kasi across lang ng street yung school niya kung dito siya tutuloy sa tita at saka tito niya compared sa ilang oras na biyahe kapag manggagaling siya sa Pampanga papunta sa school sa QC. Monday nung araw na yon, nasa room niya itong si Cosette sa may ground floor ng bahay and nagpe-prepare siya ng assignment for the next day. Mga 6:30 ng gabi yon, yung uncle niya na si Bienvenido nasa dining table eating his early supper and yung asawa naman nito na si Lourdes attending to him. Suddenly, biglang may nag-rang nung gate buzzer nila. Yung katulong nila na si Corazon Garcia pumunta sa front door to check. And then sinabi niya sa mga amo niya na merong PC or Philippine Constabulary sa labas at gustong makita or makausap ng mga yon yung may-ari ng bahay. Yung lalaking unang pumasok was in khaki uniform and cap na laging suot ng mga PC soldiers. And later, he was identified as Homer Jinko. Out of the blue, pinunot niya yung handgun niya and inutusan si Mr. and Mrs. Cancio na pumunta sa dining room. And behind this Jinko na guy, merong dalawa pang lalaki na nakasuot din ng PC uniform or Philippine Constabulary uniform at meron silang dalawang long firearms na kinilalang si Angel David and Orador Pingol. Nakapwesto sila malapit sa hagdan paakyat and both Pingol and Jinko had their lower faces covered ng transparent plastic material. So para silang may face shield o whatever. Samantala, si Angel David naman made no attempts to disguise himself. Born ready ka, girl. Char. Tsaka meron pang isang lalaki wearing civilian clothes na nakitang nakatayo sa labas ng bahay. Si Cosette, unaware sa nangyayari, lumabas siya ng room niya para maghapunan. Pagkabukas niya pa lang ng pinto, nakita niya na agad yung kasambahay nila na si Corazon Garcia na may sumusunod ditong uniformed man with a gun. That man was Angel David. And nung nakita niya si Cosette, inutusan niya ito na mag-proceed sa dining area kung saan nandun yung iba pang kasama niya sa bahay. And then, habang naglalakad siya, kasi parang malaki siguro yung bahay, no? Parang okay, lakad-lakad na ganyan, biglang paglingon niyang ganun sa may hagdan, she recognized Orador Pingol. Oh, parang, this bitch is familiar. Ganyan. And nakilala niya ito dahil nagtatrabaho si Pingol dati sa rice mill ng tatay niya. Mm-mm. Sa dining room, si Cosette, tito and tita niya, and yung kasambahay were made to squat on the floor with their backs turned to the intruders. And then 10 minutes later, si Jinko na nagbabantay sa kanila ordered Mrs. Cancho to get her money and jewelry. Sinamahan niya si Mrs. Cancho upstairs sa master's bedroom and she produced 150 pesos, which for sure different na yung amount on today's money. Meanwhile downstairs, pinapunta lahat ni Angel David yung household members sa maid's room and si Mrs. Cancho made to join them pagbaba niya galing sa second floor. Once gathered inside the room, yung mga robbers began asking their names. Nung tinanong na si Cosette, ang sabi niya, siya si Corazon Tanwakio. And itong si Jinko ordered her to give him her money. Pumunta siya sa room niya accompanied by David and kinuha niya yung 4 pesos sa kanyang wallet and gave it to him. Nung pabalik naman na sila sa maid's room, si Jinko asked her if she was Cosette. And nung sinabi niyang yes, ang sabi sa kanya, sumama siya sa kanila. On the way out, nadaanan nila yung maid's room kung saan nandun yung tito and tita ni Cosette. And yung isa sa mga robbers ang sabi, huwag sila mag-alala dahil babalik si Cosette. Paglabas sila ng house, sumakay sila sa black na car with 2 men in it. Isang nasa manibela and isang nasa backseat. And binalaan si Cosette na huwag siyang sisigaw or she will be killed. Si Cosette found herself seated sa back ng car habang pinagigitnaan siya ng dalawang lalaki. Yung nasa right niya ay in civilian clothes. Yun siguro yung nakita sa labas ng bahay. And kinilala itong si Armando Morales. And yung nasa left niya naman ay nakasuot ng PC uniform. So, pwedeng isa yon sa mga pumasok sa loob ng bahay. Pagkatapos, meron pang tatlo na naka-uniform seated in front and they ordered Cosette na yumuko and pretend to be asleep. Tinali rin nila yung kamay niya, nilagyan ng adhesive plaster yung mata at bibig for precaution. And then they sped away. After some time, tumigil sila and inilagay si Cosette sa jute sack. Yung jute sack, ano siya? Sako made from eco-friendly material. Oo, alam niyo na yon, basta hindi siya gawa sa plastic. Mm-mm. Anyway, after nun, nilagay siya sa compartment. And sa haba ng biyahe, she was able to untie herself, loosen the sack, and remove the plaster on her eyes. Pagkatapos nung nakarating na sila sa destination nila, tinanggal si Cosette sa compartment and tinali ulit yung kanyang kamay using a piece of rope. And then inilagay siya sa air raid shelter na pinagtataguan ng mga tao noong panahon ng gera. Dun sa air raid shelter na yon, merong bambukot kung saan she fell asleep almost immediately after niya ma-exhaust sa harrowing experience na yon. Little did she know, she will spend 83 days in that dark, damp, and filthy hole in the ground. Samantala sa bahay ng mga Cancho, yung tito ni Cosette na si Bienvenido look for her niece sa second floor ilang minutes nung makaalis yung mga robbers. Nung hindi niya makita yung pamangkin niya, lumabas siya sa street nila and nanghingi siya ng tulong sa mga kapitbahay to report the kidnapping. Makalipas ang kalahating oras, dumating yung police officers from Quezon City, NBI, and CIS agents and inumpisahan nila yung most massive, frustrating investigation sa bansa. Si Mrs. Cancho naman walang inaksayang oras at agad na ibinalita sa mga tanwakiyos yung nangyari. Tumawag siya sa Guagua, Pampanga and sinabi na si Cosette was kidnapped ng mga lalaki in PC uniform. And then yung dalawang mag-asawang Tanwa Kiyos, dali-daling lumuwas ng Maynila and nakarating sila ng alas 10 ng gabi sa bahay ng mga kansyo. Kahit sino naman sigurong magulang na kapag nabalitaan na kinidnap yung anak nila, pupunta yan kahit sa ang lupalop ng mundo, di ba? Para lang makagather sila ng information at magkaroon ng lead dun sa investigation.
Okay, bago tayo magpatuloy, gusto ko muna kayong tanungin mga kabetsyang. Do you ever wonder how I create my podcast? Gusto nyo bang magsimula na rin ng sarili ninyong show at i-conquer ang podcasting world pero worried kayo sa recording, editing, at iba pang masasamang elemento na maaaring pumigil sa vibe ninyo? Well, worry no more, honey, dahil sobrang easy na mag-start ng podcast ngayon using Anchor. Libre lang sa Zay, at sa mismong app, you can already record and edit your podcast and publish it on various platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at marami pang iba. As your detective, I can attest to the fact that Anchor is guilty for being the easiest way to make a podcast. So download it now on App Store, Play Store, or access it via the website www.anchor.fm for free. Anchor, everything you need to make a podcast. Krrr! Now back to the episode.
Kahit sino naman sigurong magulang na kapag nabalitaan na kinidnap yung anak nila, pupunta yan kahit sa ang lupalop ng mundo, di ba? Para lang makagather sila ng information at magkaroon ng lead dun sa investigation. Pero beyond a general account of the incident, no one could furnish a substantial information. Kinabukasan, lumuwas pabalik yung mga Tanwa Kiyos, Papampanga, to wait for the demand. Dahil somehow, sure sila na merong darating from the kidnappers. Anyway, 3 or 4 days later, merong dumating na sulat na naka-address kay Bienvenido Cancho, yung uncle ni Cosette, remember? Undated yung letter, pero postmark ito ng Manila, November 17, 1964. It was written in pencil and in block style. And dun sa letter nakasaad na nagde-demand sila ng 200,000 pesos for Cosette safe return. And inaasahan ng mga kidnappers na matatanggap nila yung pera not later than the 21st of the month. Noong November 22 that same year, habang naka-confined sa Manila Doctors Hospital, si Sixto Tanwa Kiyo, dahil sa shock sa pagkawala ng anak niya, may dumating na dalawang letters na ipinakita sa kanya ng mga NBI agents na may hawak ng kaso. Yung unang sulat was the very same letter na natanggap ni Mr. Cancho, pero this time it was typewritten and postmarked sa San Fernando, Pampanga, November 17, 1964. Yung second letter naman still demanding for 200,000 pesos, and they move the deadline to November 23. They also gave detailed instructions sa oras, sa lugar, at kung paano ipapadala. Ito naloka ako kasi sa sobrang detailed, pati yung number of currency and their denominations kasama, pati yung tono ng sulat threats Cosette's life in case the instructions were not followed. Nakasaad pa sa letter yung emissary na magde-deliver ng money as Tanwa Kiyo's trusted man na nagngangalang Rodolfo Manalo. Meron ding handwritten note in English from Cosette na naka-address sa mom niya, saying she was in good hands and pleading her captor's demands be complied with. Noong November 25 naman, 1964, the Cancho family received another typewritten letter na naka-postmark sa Manila, November 24, that same year. It was a short message ordering Cancho na i-deliver yung kasama nitong sulat na sealed envelope kay Sixto Tanwa Kiyo ng 4 p.m. that same day. Imbis na gawin ni Bienvenido Cancho yung nakasaad dun sa sulat, isinurrender niya yung mga yun kay Diosdado Lagman ng NBI, the same person na hiningaan ng tulong ng mga Tanwa Kiyos nung nakidnap si Cosette. Sa loob ng sealed envelope ay another letter na naka-address kay Sixto Tanwa Kiyo at Rodolfo Manalo, yung chosen emissary ng mga kidnappers. Remember? Pinagsabihan ng mga kidnappers itong si Sixto for not keeping to himself yung contents nung last letter instruction. Pero he was given a last chance para isalba yung buhay ng daughter niya by complying strictly with the new set of instructions for Rodolfo to follow. So yung bagong itinerary ay by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, dapat nasa Aroma Restaurant and Cafe, corner Claro Embrecto at Rizal Avenue itong emissary ng November 25. At magstay si Rodolfo sa restaurant hanggang 6:30 p.m. And nakasaad dun sa letter na mayroon fatal consequences kapag hindi nasunod yung instructions. However, hindi natuloy o nagawa alinsunod sa sulat dahil na-receive lang ng mga tanwakiyos yung letter noong November 25 sa Guagua. So, pagpasensyahan nyo na kung medyo may kaingayan, ano? Oo, kasalukuyang naulan dito sa amin ngayon. So, bear with me. Okay, going back. Marami pa silang na-receive na letter pagkatapos nito. Tulad noong November 29, 1964, naka-address naman yung letter sa nanay ni Cosette. Nakasaad doon yung bagong instructions for Rodolfo, pero he lost courage at the last moment. Yung isang sulat naman naka-address sa anak ni Sixto Tanwakiyo na si Milwi Tanwakiyo. This time, nagde-demand naman sila ng 50,000 pesos na i-deliver sa Angeles City ng 9 o'clock ng gabi, December 16, 1964. Kapag hindi nasunod yung kasunduan, pupugutan nila ng ulo si Cosette. December 20 naman that same year, nakareceive ng letter yung niece-in-law ng mga Tanwakiyos and ang nakasaad dun sa letter ay pinapamove yung delivery date ng December 23. The next year, 1965, early January ito, si Father Jose de la Cruz, whom the letter was addressed, brought the said letter kay Sixto Tanwakiyo, which dated December 26, 1964, demanding an increase from 50,000 pesos to 100,000 pesos. At pinili ng mga kidnappers na ito si Father as their new emissary, Ganoin. Kaso nga, lagpas na yung date, pero meron silang follow-up letter. Fairness ha, daming tinta ng typewriter ha. However, hindi pinayagan ng mga superiors niya itong si Father Jose na i-execute yung plan dahil yung meeting place daw ay public dancing hall or cabaret. Another typewritten letter yung natanggap nila dated January 5, 1965. Pero hindi ito nagawa ni Father Jose dahil nareceive lang nila ito the day after, pati yung mga sumunod na mga letter. So ang may problema talaga dito yung letter sender. Charot! Anyway, para naman hindi sayang tinta ng typewriter nila, let me share some letters with super detailed instructions. Divine? Okay, Tuesday, January 19, from 8 o'clock in the morning, place your jeep in front of your residence. Do not move it away from there until 10:30 in the evening that same day. At exactly 10:25 on the same night, bring the money down from your house to the jeep and leave exactly at 10:30. Switch all your lights and proceed to Angeles City at the rate of 20 to 30 miles per hour. Park your jeep on the ramp near the Star Apple Tree in front of MSC Sacred Heart Seminary. Leave your jeep outside the fence. You enter by walking through the gate. Stop and wait under the apple tree. You can sit facing the seminary. Do not forget to bring flashlight. Be sure you're already there at 11:30. In between 11:30 and 12 o'clock midnight, my men, together with your daughter, will give you the signal of their presence by flashing their flashlight towards you 2 times. Answer them by flashing your flashlight 3 times towards them. Then your daughter will call you. You answer back by calling her name. But that is all to be shouted off. Do not move from your place. They will be the one to approach you. Once in front of you, you can have your daughter in your arms, but you are guarded with the one holding the submachine gun, while the other fellow is checking and counting the bundles of money. Once found correct, our men will bid you goodbye. Then you can go home peacefully, But once the money were found incorrect or some kind of foul play, you will know what will happen. Si Father Jose de la Cruz, yung nirequest ng mga tanwakiyos to do the job since he was close to the family and knows Cosette personally. With his superior's permission, Father Jose left Guagua ng 10:30 p.m. of January 19. Minamaneho niya yung top-down jeep with a bag of money na nakaplace under his right leg. From Guagua, he proceeded to San Fernando and to Angeles City kung saan dumating siya few minutes bago mag 11:30. He went directly sa Sacred Heart Seminary and parked the jeep in front of the gate. At naglakad siya with a bag of money towards the Star Apple Tree. Nagintay siya doon hanggang 3 o'clock na madaling araw pero walang sumipot. Out of frustration, he gave up and went inside the Sacred Heart Seminary.
Hey, Betchangs! Wanna start your own podcast pero worried about what goes through the production process? Girl, if hindi mo pa naririnig, may I share with you Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Just download it via the App Store, Play Store, or access it from the website www.anchor.fm for free. Tapos meron silang creation tools doon that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right away. You also don't have to worry about the distribution on different platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and others dahil Anchor will do the job for you. Now back to the episode.
Naglakad siya with a bag of money towards the Star Apple Tree. Nagintay siya doon hanggang 3 o'clock na madaling araw pero walang sumipot. Out of frustration, he gave up and went inside the Sacred Heart Seminary building. And then si Mr. and Mrs. Tanwakiyo later came to pick him up para iuwi siya. Not long after, nagpadala na naman itong mga kidnappers ng letter na naka-postmark sa Sex Moon, Pampanga noong January 21, 1965 and naka-address ito kay Sixto explaining kung bakit hindi sila nakasipot doon ay dahil hindi daw kinaya ni Cosette yung long trek from their hideout to Angeles City. Tapos minove nila yung date ng January 23 with the same instructions with Cosette's handwritten note explaining na she's not feeling well noong January 19. Kaya noong January 23, nag-drive ulit si Father pa Angeles City to do the mission. Ininform ni Sixto si Father through telephone ng seminary na hindi makakarating itong mga kidnappers. Dahil si Sixto had received a long distance call from Manila from someone named George saying na hindi nila i-release si Cosette that night. And that George advised Sixto to follow the same instructions or procedure the next morning. Father Jose niyo, pagod na, char. Pero kahit na masakit yung sikmura ni Father Jose, pumunta siya sa meeting place. This time, accompanied ng isang pare na si Father Roque. But as a ghoster, itong mga kidnappers failed to appear again. Lumipas ang mga araw, walang natanggap na sulat ang mga tanwakiyos from the kidnappers and wala rin silang update tungkol sa kalagayan ni Cosette. Also, the authorities had not uncovered any tangible lead as to Cosette's whereabouts. And then, by the end of January, merong sealed envelope na may nakasulat na Rush, ang iniwan ng unknown courier sa tapat ng rice mill ng mga tanwakiyos sa Guagua, Pampanga. Naglalaman ito ng sulat dated January 25, 1965, explaining na kung bakit hindi nakarating si Cosette and yung kidnappers nito dahil nakatanggap sila ng information from their intelligence that the city of Angeles is burning hot. Pero may nakalakip na bagong instructions sa letter na ito. So, ito yung sinabi. Place that jeep in front of your residence 8 o'clock in the morning, January 26. Do not move it until 10:30 in the evening. At 10:25, bring that money down with your one-man Reverend Priest representative. Tell him to proceed to the new meeting place at the rate of 20 to 30 miles per hour with all switches off lights on. Starting from Guagua, follow the road leading to Porac. About 4 or 5 kilometers before reaching Porac, you will see a schoolhouse on the left side of the road. The name of the school is Mababang Paaralan ng Pulong Santol. Park the jeep in front of the gate, Put out the lights and stop the engine. Do not step down until you see two flashes of signals from a flashlight coming from the general direction of the one of the buildings. Then you signal back 3 times towards the direction where the signal come from. You alight then from the jeep and proceed inside the premises of the school. You will hear Cosette shout these words, "Daddy, narito ako." Then the priest will answer back saying, "Cosette, ako si padre." The priest will shout his name to be recognized. Then Cosette and our two men will approach. Do the exchange, the checking. There will be 60 bundles in all, as indicated before. If okay, the two men will disappear. And then you stay in the jeep for 15 minutes, then go home. I beg you, Mr. Tanwakiyo, if you make any funny secret markings on the bills, you will never live in peace from then on. Now, if your jeep does not appear at 8 o'clock in the morning, January 26, we will understand. There will be no reason for us to appear too on the meeting place. And no more further reasons for us left to appear anymore. Or if we do, it will take another time. Maybe 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years. That depends upon the superiors because it is too risky on our part to have your daughter exposed too much on contaminated places. So avoid that risk. If we can't make exchange now, she will be moved back in the safety line. The new suggested place is good and satisfactory for us. And the most for you, let's ignite the flame to get us into a whirlpool again. We hope we don't this time. Kaya naman, noong 10:30 ng gabi, January 26, si Father Jose started to travel sa Pulong Santol. Yung Pulong Santol ay isang barrio between Porac and Santa Rita, Pampanga. So habang nagta-travel itong si Father, nasa barrio Sinipit, Santa Rita siya, meron siyang nakita mga unidentified men na sumusunod sa kanya at sinimulan siyang paputukan. Pero luckily, hindi siya tinamaan. And sa Barrio Dila-Dila rin, nakarinig siya ng mga series of gunshots. So binilisan niya yung pagdadrive hanggang sa he could hardly control the steering wheel. And then he realized baka natamaan yung gulong. Nung tumigil siya para i-check, merong dumating na jeep with 5 armed men. They offered help na palitan yung flat na gulong. And nag-volunteer din sila na i-escort si Father sa Porac. Since may malaking perang dala si Father at ang fishy nitong mga to, out of the blue, bigla-bigla na lang mga te, si Father Jose politely declined their offer. Instead, humingi siya ng tulong sa barrio captain para i-accompany siya sa pinakamalapit na army detachment. From there, he was escorted by army soldiers to Guagua, kung saan nakarating siya ng 1:30 ng madaling araw. Nakipag-meet siya sa mga Tanwakiyo sa isang chapel, kwento niya yung nangyari sa kanya, and sinoli niya yung ransom money. Itong exhausting na events na ito was the last of it. After nito, wala na natanggap na letter yung mga Tanwakiyos from the kidnappers. So wala nang update from the kidnappers, and wala pa rin leads itong mga authorities. Kaya naman yung mga Tanwakiyos left with no choice but to wait. And then on February 6, 1965, si Josefina Chan and Lilia Morales ay nahuli na nagbebenta ng counterfeit na peso bills sa isang kainan sa Caloocan City. Nung ininterrogate sila ng Philippine Constabulary sa Camp Crame, itong dalawang to shared an information about dun sa source ng bogus na pera. The next day, February 7, may team na inorganize para pumunta dun sa place na ibinigay nitong dalawang babae. So, pumunta sila sa Barrio Magsaysay, Guagua, Pampanga, kung saan nakatira itong pinagkukunan nila ng counterfeit peso bills. Nung marating ng organized team yung bahay, merong dalawa dun sa organized team na yun yung dumiretso sa backyard, and they saw a pig pen. And then, may nakita silang cover sa small portion ng sahig ng pig pen na ito, and yung isa sa kanila pulled the cover handle, and may nakita silang hole pababa. Nung ibabalik na nila yung takip, mayroon silang narinig na boses coming from the hole. Oh my God, Satan? Instinctively, ang sabi nitong mga authorities, huwag kang manlaban, and then tinutok nila yung barrel dun sa butas. The bamboo near the opening began to move and may nakita silang lumabas na kamay. The agent took hold of it and then hinila siya palabas. That man was Orador Pingol, dating nagtatrabaho sa rice mill ng mga Tanwakiyos at isa sa mga kumidnap kay Cosette. So nung nakuha siya, tinurn over siya sa team leader. Pagkatapos, meron ulit narinig itong mga agents na voice coming from the hole. Nung narescue siya, the young girl was looking weak, haggard, and emaciated. and was later identified as Cosette Tanwakio. Kaagad naman siyang sinugod sa Viluna General Hospital sa Quezon City where she stayed under medical treatment for 9 days. Meanwhile, nung nagsagawa ng search doon sa may dugout, may mga na-recover na PC uniforms, Persian cups, revolver, parapernalia sa paggawa ng counterfeit bills. Dinala si Pinggol sa CIS office sa may Camp Crame for interrogation and nagbigay naman siya ng kanyang statement that very same day. Minention niya na a certain boy and Teodoro Guevara yung companion niya sa paggawa ng kidnapping. Pero hindi niya maibigay yung specific information tungkol sa identities at residence ng mga ito. Kaya the next day, yung CIS agents and NBI headed by Attorney Berlin Castillo, bumalik dun sa bahay ni Pinggol sa may baryo Magsaysay para mag-conduct ng detailed search dun sa premises. Inside the dugout, may nakita silang copies ng letters, articles, at documents, pati na rin yung mga notes ni Cosette para sa parents niya. So they resumed the interrogation kay Pinggol gamit yung mga documents na nakalap nila dun sa may dugout. And maloloka kayo mga te. Dahil since na-feel niya na parang caught off guard siya and dead end na, so he broke down and confessed na yung mga companions niya sa kidnappings ay si Homer Jinko, Angel David, and Armando Morales. And then noong February 9, he agreed to accompany NBI and CIS agents para mahuli itong mga kasabwat. Merong dalawang team na inorganize. Yung isa headed to Guagua, Pampanga, kung saan hinuli or nahuli si Homer Jinko, and then sa Barrio Magsaysay, nahuli naman si Armando Morales. At sa Santa Rosa Pilar, Bataan naman, nahuli si Angel David. Pumunta rin itong team sa Florida Blanca and proceeded dun sa bahay nung nagngangalang Francisco Capulong para i-recover yung typewriter na ginagamit nila pang ransom note. Kinonfirm nitong Capulong na hiniram ni Pinggol itong typewriter for some time pero sinauli rin. And then nag-search ulit yung otoridad sa bahay ni Pinggol and this time, they found firearms na nakabaon sa may ilalim ng basurahan malapit sa kusina niya. Pagkatapos, yung NBI agents, Pinggol and Mrs. Cancio went to Angeles City para i-recover sa dalawang pawn shop yung transistor radio and ladies' wristwatch na kinuha nila on the night of kidnapping. Noong February 11, 1969 or 1970, ni-resume yung interrogation kay Pinggol and sa 139 na question, sinagot niya yon in detail. And ito nakakatawa dahil ang sabi niya, in his defense, yung crime niya daw ay hindi kidnap for ransom. I know, bullshit, right? And then he proceeded, the day of kidnapping, November 16, 1964, wala daw sa isip niya na kidnapin si Cosette. Kasi nung afternoon daw na yon, he had a business appointment sa old acquaintance niya na nagngangalang Teodoro Guevara. Nag-meet sila sa Cubao, Quezon City, and then after that, nag-drive sila using his car, yung sasakyan ni Pinggol, to see itong friend ni Guevara sa Marikina. Hindi niya raw ito kilala at inintroduce lang daw sa kanya to sa pangalang Boy. Yung business appointment nila na hindi nag-go through, instead, pinupose itong Guevara na i-rob nila yung isang bahay sa Quezon City, which turns out to be the house of Cancio family. According to him, it was a surprise daw nung makita niya si Cosette dun sa bahay. Wow, kami rin na surprise te. And then sinuggest niya kay Guevara na kunin si Cosette and gawing hostage after the robbery. And yung naisip niya to, dahil yung idea niya, sabi niya, okay, after ng robbery na ito, papampanga naman tayo. Oo. So, i-drop off natin si Cosette sa may San Fernando para from there, mag-proceed siya pauwi sa Guagua. What in the motherfucking lies na Manila is this? The lies. Anyway, upon reaching San Fernando, meron siyang mga naalalang mga personal grudge niya against dito sa tatay ni Cosette na si Sixto. At naisip niya na magandang opportunity ito para makapaghigante. Kaya ang ginawa nila ni Guevara, pumunta sila sa may baryo Magsaysay sa bahay ni Pinggol at itinago si Cosette sa isang dugout na naging tirahan niya for 83 days na ilang blocks away lang sa bahay ng mga Tanwakios. I know you know that his testimony was shit. Who would believe that improbable defense? hindi niya nga maibigay yung specific identities and tirahan nitong Teodoro Guevara and a certain boy. At bakit bigla na lang nang change yung plan from robbery to kidnapping with a very vague reason na meron siyang galit sa tatay ni Cosette. Also, ang fishy lang na ang napili nitong Guevara na i-rob na bahay ay yung mga kancho na at that time nakatira si Cosette. Yung mga gantong bagay kasi is meticulously planned, di ba? Kaya ang joke time lang na biglang mag-switch or mag-change ng plan. At yung pag-take ng hostage with them na wala naman sa plano ay risky dahil maaaring ma-jeopardize nga yung plan nila. At sila na rin. Pati yung statement niya na wala siyang balak kidnapin si Cosette ay contradicting sa numerous letters na natanggap ng Pamilya Cancho and Tanwakios, demanding for enormous amount of money. Ang sabi naman ng korte tungkol sa confession ni Pinggol, yung statements niya daw were not true after ma-recover yung mga incriminating documents and objects dun sa dugout. Anyway, naalala niyo ba nung nag-breakdown siya at sinabi niyang kumpanyo niya sa kidnappings si Morales, Jinko, at David? Nasabi niya raw yun dahil he was being maltreated by CIS agents. Sabi naman ng court, he could have complained it sa Fiscal Miguel Halili and Prosecutor Jesus Vergara. He was not deprived of any opportunity to communicate with lawyers and relatives. Pero hindi niya ginawa. And if he raised his concern and complained early on, the court would have ordered his confinement elsewhere. Yung claim niya raw na maltreatment ay very contradicting naman because sabi, no man will ever choose to live in the custody of his tormentor. And his changing of confessions and evidence pointing at him establish his guilt. Samantala si Homer Jinko naman denied any participation sa kidnapping at yung alibi niya, he was at a bowling hall sa Santo Tomas, Pampanga noong November 16, 1964. Yung counselor ng nasabing municipality na si Innocencio Bilingan ang sabi na andun daw si Homer Jinko sa place hanggang 10 p.m. At merong 2 bowling score sheets under Homer's name, number 485 and 488. The court concluded na nung naglalaro si Jinko, it was already late and it's possible for him to be in Quezon City ng alas 6 ng gabi since 60 kilometers lang yung distance ng Quezon City to Santo Tomas. And kaya itong i-travel ng more than 1 hour using motor or car. Also, di ba, naalala nyo ba nung sinabi ni Pinggol sa kanyang statement na after nilang kidnapin si Cosette, tumigil sila at inilagay sa jute sack at compartment yung biktima. At pagkatapos dumiretso sila sa bowling alley kung saan binaba nila si Jinko so that he could return to Manila the next morning para i-send or i-deliver yung unang ransom letter. And since clearly no defense yung alibi niya, he was identified as one of the armed men na pumasok dun sa bahay ng mga kancho. And then Jinko tried to explain naman na yung unang ransom letter na nagde-demand ng 200,000 pesos ay request ni Pinggol who told him na gagamitin ito to play a joke on someone na taga Quezon City. The lies again, honey. Anyway, sa revised penal code na 267, nakasaad doon na illegal detention and kidnapping is committed when a private person kidnaps, detain, or otherwise deprive another of his liberty, where kidnapping or detention was committed for the purpose of extorting ransom from the victim or any other person. The penalty provided by law is death. Kaya naman si Judge Honorable Placido C. Ramos, presiding court of first instance of Quezon City, rendered his verdict in a 137-page decision. The death sentence was imposed to Pinggol and Jinko at reclusion perpetua naman kay Morales at David. Eventually, because of the carried recommendation to the president, si Pinggol and Jinko were commuted to life imprisonment. So that is the kidnapping of Cosette Tanwakio. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Grabe, feeling ko 83 days din akong tumalak sa haba ng pinagdaanan ni Cosette. Oo, ang satisfying lang na kapag may mga gantong krimen, nahuhuli yung akusado, diba? Pero hindi natin alam, baka may mas bigger fish pa sa likod ng mga suspects. By the way, meron ba tayong lawyers in the house? Yes. Meron lang akong tanong, oo. Kasi curious ako and hindi ako sure kung death pa rin ba yung penalty sa Article 267 ng Revised Penal Code. Since yung capital punishment nga or yung death penalty were abolished, di ba? Nung time nung nangyari ito, possible, 1960s. Pero now, hindi talaga ako sure. Well, nagugulan ako, oo. Please help me. Help me sa comment section below. Please, sagutin niyo yung tanong ko. Sa mga magtatanong about Cosette, wala nang update sa kanya after nung kidnapping and I'm not really sure if she's still alive or whatnot. So yeah, that's it for today. Thank you so much for watching and as always, please keep safe and healthy and I'll see you guys next Thursday. Bye!